Okay, this morning we're going to be looking again in Hebrews chapter 11. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 7. And we're going to be looking at three heroes of faith. Three men who are in the Hall of Faith. We have the Hall of Fame and those that are inducted in the different areas in the physical, the world. But here we see three that were inducted into Hall of Faith. And as I've been studying this particular book and chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, and as we just finished the fruit of the Spirit, looking at the different fruit of the Spirit, and here we're looking at faith, faithfulness, and faith being faithful. There are so many different areas of faith as I've read and looked in different books of the Bible this week. And each one of these have a different area of their expertise in how God used them and their faith. And we're going to be seeing part of that today. There is so much here to share and even to look at. 30 minutes doesn't give ample time to get into the lives of these men. And of course, many of these had 300, 500, 600 years upon this earth. And we are promised 70, which is 70 plus years. And many of them, of us and many go far beyond that. And it makes a difference of how we spend that little dash in our life and from the time we're born until we go to meet the Lord. And here we're going to be examining and looking at each one of these lives and how they impacted those around them and how God had placed his hand upon their life. And I call it that divine anointing in their life because they walked with God. They worked for God, in God, and they worshiped God in faith. So let's begin here this morning by looking at each one of these. It may be impossible to please a perfect, all-knowing, all-powerful, holy God, but there is a way through the way of faith. And each one of these was able to do that, and they did that. And the action of the Old Testament saints shows faith pleases God and that he rewards those who seek and follow him by faith. And what a rewarding thing it is when we see and read about those who walk with God and they are obedient in every area of their life. So first of all, we're going to look at Abel. And we know Abel was the son of Adam and Eve. And of course, there was a disagreement between Cain and Abel, and Abel was slain. But according to the scripture, his faith still speaks today. You know, his life might have ended, but his works continue on. And that tells us in Revelation chapter 4, verse 13, that, when our life ends, our works continue on. And God uses that to impact the lives of those that follow. So, as we look here in verse 4, where it begins, and I'll read that verse in a few minutes, but our writer leads us to consider the lives of people known simply by their faith. You know, that would be one of the greatest thing, for each one of us, if somebody stands over our casket or says, boy, they was a person of faith. They had true, true faith. And the first three pleased God by their faith. If you want to read about that, that's Genesis chapter 6, 9 through chapter 7, verse 1. And first of all, verse 4 tells us the way to more excellent sacrifice like Abel. See, he had a perfect sacrifice for God. And it was offered to him in faith. Unlike Cain, Cain was more of a selfish thing that he did. It wasn't heartfelt. It wasn't by faith. But Abel, he was honored. And this is why I call it a worshiping faith. He had a worshiping faith. So that's why I say there's different types of faith. There's a worshiping faith, there's a walking faith, and there's a working faith. And we'll see each one of those today. So beginning with verse 4, follow along with me on the screen or by your Bible. And this is most worthy. These are the triumphs of heroes of faith that we're reading about and studying about this morning. But verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, and there it is, he still speaks. His faith carries on. You know, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord, but he still speaks of his testimony and the works and his faithfulness and his obedience to the Lord. So, that leads me to say, when we leave this world, either with a legacy of faith or unfaithfulness. But Abel was faithful. So, look here in verse 4 with me, and it tells us that from many thousands of years ago, Abel speaks to the 21st century people. He still speaks to us about our faithfulness and our obedience and our faith in the Lord. So, What he has to tell us is more relevant than anything that we're a lot likely to read in the current newspaper, or I guess I would say magazines. What he has to tell us is more current for us if we just look and see and visualize spiritually what the Bible is speaking about how he still speaks in our lives. And it deals with a faith that we build upon. Our faith should be encounter a spiritual growth each day. So Abel's faith led to three things. As I was looking at this particular verse 4, there's three things that jumped out at me that I want us to see this morning. And it was true worship. He had a heartfelt worship for God. He loved God. And he wanted to be obedient, so that's why his worship was true. And he had a true righteousness. God called him righteous. Then he had a true witness. His witness still continues on. That's why the scripture says that he still speaks. Even though he's dead and his life was cut short because of anger of a jealous brother, who was not obedient to God. And we said, well, how could that happen? Well, it happened, and good things happen even in bad situations, and God uses that to enhance or to further his kingdom. And he did that through Abraham, and it was noteworthy that he said that he had he walked with God. Now, Cain was the oldest brother who exercised and lived out his religion. Now, he was a religious man, but he was not a righteous man, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Now, the reason indicated is because his faith was not truly placed in God's righteousness or goodness, but it was in himself. It was all about Cain. And that we see that in the world today. Our world is full of people or examples of that where we're in it for ourselves. So perhaps it wasn't in his heart. It was held within. He wasn't in full surrender to God. And Genesis chapter 4, verses 3-7, gives us an example of that as well. But going back to Abel's was a kind of faith that permitted God to move in and on his behalf and make him righteous. Even Matthew talks about that in Matthew 23:35, the righteousness of Abel. And the only thing that obtained righteousness for Abel wasn't anything about himself, but it was his faith. It wasn't because of who he was as a person, other than it was his faith that made him righteous. And true faith is always obedient, and Abel did what God told him to do. Now, if God speaks to us in a specific way, and he will, through our heart, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and asks us to do something on his behalf, then that, and we follow through, that's obedience. And we're counted faithful in doing that. And true faith, always obedient, and Abel did exactly what God told him. So it's not how good we are, but whether or not we trust God, that what I believe that really counts in our lives. So that's the only thing that changes man's relationship with God. Yet, true trust is seen obedience to God's word. Even Jesus in John 8:31 said, when he was talking to the Jews and so forth, he was saying, you know, if you're obedient to my word, then I will count you as my disciples. If you are obedient to me and my word, then you are worthy to be my disciples. And that's what John 8:31 says. He was talking to the Jews, and his disciples were present. And then he, down in verse 36 of chapter John chapter 8, he says, when you're saved, you believe in me, you are truly saved. And then he says, indeed. That's final. You're sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So faithfulness is very important in our lives today, especially when it comes between our relationship with the Lord. Now, that's Abel. Let's look at Enoch. Enoch, it says that he walked by faith. And he's the second hero that is mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11, who by faith was translated, never experiencing death because he pleased God. And let's look at verses 5 and 6 here. And I'll read that, and we'll look at Enoch a little bit further. But in 5 it says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. Now, what's that a picture of? Heaven. Yeah, that's a picture of heaven and a picture of being taken up. It's a picture of the church being taken up or raptured up. Whenever that God chooses to do that in the end times. But it's a picture of Enoch being caught up or raptured up to be with the Lord. And it says, it was not because God took him up, for he attained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And then verse 6. Now, we've seen this particular verse stated in other parts of the Bible, but here verse 6 it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And that is true. Very true. So, Abel exemplified worshiping by faith, which was always comes first. Enoch exemplifies living and walking by faith. So Abel, he worshiped by faith. Enoch, he walked by faith. In Genesis, I want to read this about Enoch as well. It says that in verse 21, Enoch lived 665 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Long time to serve the Lord and be faithful and walking with the Lord. And became the father of Methuselah. Now, Methuselah is the oldest person that's ever lived on this earth. You know how many years? Anybody knows? A long time, huh? 969 years, Methuselah. And verse 22, Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. In verse 23, and all the days of Enoch was 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, by faith, Enoch walked in fellowship with God, and he walked of faith. He produced a righteousness that, according to the scripture, pleased God. That's something great. That's something wonderful to be said by God. Or, you know, if you're talking to someone or they're giving you a compliment or something, it's good to hear, isn't it? To know that you're well thought of, or you've done something great, to be recognized. And that's why these men are in the hall of faith, because they did something for God. God is a rewarder of those who are obedient. And of course, you know, I shared a message a few months ago now about the rewards and the benefits and the promises God gives, and other rewards for those who are faithful and give of their time in obedience to the Lord. And that's why they're in this, Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, because they walked with God and they pleased God. And although he lived during a corrupt age, and you think about that. Now we think we're living in a corrupt age today. He lived in a corrupt age that was headed for judgment of the flood, and this was before the flood. And Enoch did not conform to the standard of the age in which he lived, but walked in accordance with God's righteousness, and according to scriptures, he kept his life pure. And that's not always easy. It's not easy for us today. It's not easy for most of the world who conform rather than being transformed in the likeness of Christ. But he was transformed, and God rewarded him for his faithfulness. So, you know, faith produced a life so pleasing to God that God translated him. That Hebrew word translated means to carry across. That means he took him up, he went across into heaven, from this earth to heaven, without seeing death, and without seeing physical death. Now, how many of you would like to experience that? You know, death is not easy. Death is not easy. Probably death is one of the worst things that a person or a human will encounter in this life. You know, we go through a lot of illnesses and heartaches and pain and suffering and things like that. But nothing is more, I guess, harder than death itself. The unknowns and the unexpectancy and the things and the way that we go experience that. Death is one of the hardest things. And two men, Elijah and Enoch, were taken by God. And you know, when I'm thinking and reading through the scriptures and thinking about how God's word interprets and it speaks to us, I'm thinking that God chose these two men because of their walk with Him to be the witnesses in Revelation because of their life they lived. He took them. And that's going to be an example, I believe, in Revelation of the two witnesses that will be seen during the time when Christ comes back during that tribulation and all the terrible things that will be going through the tribulation. Here are these witnesses will say, you know, God is righteous and holy, and that will be their witness and their testimony, and they will be seen, you know. Peter, he saw this at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to build tabernacles and worship right there on the spot. And of course, the Heavenly Father spoke and said, "Peter, listen to Jesus. You know, this is for you, because Christ is being recognized here as the Savior of the world. Listen to Him." And of course, you know, Moses and Elijah were there on the scene, and we know that God chooses special people for special situations to glorify and bring honor and glory to Him and set the example for the world to see that God is a rewarder of those who are obedient. Now, God was pleased with Enoch because his faith was not just something felt in his heart. It was heard on his lips and it was seen in his life. And Jude verses 14 and 15 tells us about that as well. And it says that he prophesied and he preached to his ungodly nation. Ungodly nation and those in that generation of time. So at least after 300 years of believing, walking in fellowship and proclaiming the word, he went to be with the Lord in the most marvelous, unique way. What a way to be caught up in the presence of God. See, God took him to heaven without his experiencing death. And this can be seen in the picture of the rapture, as I said a few minutes ago, of the purified church. Of course, Revelation talks about the purified church, and we're part of the Laodicean church, in which the generations in which we live now. But one of these days, we'll experience that as well. Now, let's look at Noah. Now, he had a working faith. Now, you imagine Noah building and working on that ark, and that was work. That was work. 120 years. What a working faith. Being mocked and ridiculed and laughed at and all of that. But he remained faithful to God. And Noah is the third example of obedience of faith in God that developed into a determined, and I will call a perseverance faith. He persevered through a lot of things, 120 years. You know, in today's world, when you witness and you share your faith and you preach messages and so forth, and you see people walk down the aisle and accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, what a joy and what a blessing that is. Noah preached 120 years and didn't have one convert, right? 120 years. You know, that could be heartbreaking, couldn't it? But at least he had his family on board with him during that time in there on the ark. But he persevered. This shows a faith that persevered in acting upon God's divine warnings. He took serious what God warned through him to the people, but yet they didn't heed. Let's look at verse 7 here with me. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned, and there's that word warned, by God about the things not yet seen. And that takes us back to verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of those things that we do not see. And now we see here in verse 7, by faith Noah being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, in pure reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is accounted to his faith. When I'm thinking about Abel and Enoch, Noah's faith involved his whole being. And why I say that? Because it involved his mind. He was warned in his mind. He was warned by God. His heart was moved with reverence of fear. And his will caused his body to act upon what God told him. Now, I have three things here that I want us to see in verse 7. First of all, he listened and then he heeded God's word. You see, upon this warning, he took action. His faith took action. You know, that's what God's looking for in our lives today. He wants us to take action. Second thing, he lived out his faith. And God blessed him for 300 something years or more. And then thirdly, in doing so, he received God's righteousness. Those are three things that I see that was awarded to Noah because of his faithfulness. See, Noah's faith was regarded by his becoming an heir of righteousness. You think about that. We, as the body of Christ, become the heirs of righteousness because of our faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, an heir of righteousness, man, blameless in his time, Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. But I wanted to narrow this down by looking at Noah as a working faith. Working faith. A lot of times we minister, we work hard and doing things, and we don't see in evidence. But his was a perseverance, a keeping on. Even though he didn't see any action from people and those around him, he was sharing, or he was trying to win over to salvation, to trust in God. And yet, he remained faithful to the Lord. In conclusion here this morning, though Noah did not know what a flood was or where his walk of faith would take him, he obediently followed the Lord. And then a life that is pleasing to God may be lived out in many ways, but its root is one thing above all, It's a life lived by faith in God. Now, Genesis 6:22 says, "This did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." All, it says. It didn't just say some of the things, but all of the things that God commanded him, he did it. Can that be said about us today? Can that be said? You know, Abel, Enoch, Noah enrolled in the Hall of Faith. What about us? What about you this morning? Something to think about, our faith, isn't it? How strong. You know, Jesus often said, and you know, another, I said that faith can be explained or seen in several different ways. And Jesus looked at his disciples one time and said, "What? Oh, ye of little faith." They had faith. It was just kind of weak at the moment. But that's why Christ never gave up on them. He kept working and teaching them and encouraging them and showing them what faith really looked at, a faith lived out in life, and the rewards of a faithful person. You end up in the Hall of Faith. Who knows where our lives will be one of these days as we continue to be faithful and do what God has called us to do. Not just as a church, but individually, personal. Our faith is personal between us and the Lord. Our salvation is personal between us and the Lord. And that's what God works at with us individually, wanting to fine-tune us and complete our walk with Him. And so that'll be said about us one of these days. As Paul says, you know, just not me, but anyone who loves God will receive a crown of righteousness. Think about that. Well, it's worth thinking about. It's worth enduring and persevering, even through the valleys of the shadows of death, as David said. It's worth it. And that's when David said in verse 6 of Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that's where these men are, in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the examples that we read and we study right here in your word. And it speaks to us and it alerts us, and may it motivate us to be conscious and allow God and your Son, the Holy Spirit, all three, the Trinity, the One, to live out our faith just like these three and others that we'll be looking at in the next few weeks. Lord, we thank you for these examples, because it should be a motivation to us. And as we read it, and we have to apply ourselves, and we got put forth an effort to get into the Word, and when we read it, we say, "Oh, why haven't I read this before? Why haven't I spent more time reading the Word and finding out exactly where I am in my life, in my faith, in my walk, in my work, in my witness?" It's an eye-opener. It's a heartfelt desire, Lord, to be all we can be for you. That's what you're looking for in each one of us this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. You're always perfecting us to do what you have called us each to do, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and body, and to give of ourselves to be transformed into likeness of Christ. And we can do that through obedience and surrender of our life completely to you. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the invitation. And Lord, however you move us by your Spirit, may we openly walk this aisle this morning and allow you to take charge and use us for your kingdom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is "How Thine Own Way, Lord." Let us stand as we sing our final song.